Hello, everybody. Welcome to Amazing You. I am your host. My name is Dr. Rani Thanakudi. I am a clinical hypnotherapist, Mars Venus life and relationship coach, tarot reader, astrologer, past life regression practitioner, breathwork coach, and life force compassion practitioner. And today I am really, really happy to have with me a very special guest whose name is Jason Fricker. He is a workplace coordinator and the podcaster of Everyday Elevations. So welcome to Amazing You, Jason.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on here. I'm so excited to talk to you today. And just really, really excited.
I know we've talked before on your podcast. So now you are on Amazing You podcast. So I was looking at your bio and I found the great things that you've been doing. And you were an Air Force veteran for 8 years and you have served for eight years in the military. And I would like to ask you to tell us a bit more about that. How was it for you transitioning from the military to a civilian life? Because that can be very challenging. So how did you experience that moving from the military to pursuing a career now in HR, in human resource management, as well as your interest in wellness advocacy? Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an amazing question. So the transition for me was actually a real struggle.
Right.
One of the big concerns I have with military transitions is that the military tends to do a one-size-fits-all program. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily work for everybody. It didn't work for me. Okay. I struggled for years figuring out where I want to go and how to apply my experience. Now, my getting out of the military is a little different than the standard person. Most people kind of know before they get out that, hey, I'm getting out. So they have a plan set in place.
Yes.
I didn't have a plan set in place. So that was the biggest difference between mine and some others. So they have different programs that can help, like DoD SkillBridge. I don't want to just say the Air Force kind of throws you to the wolves or anything. They don't. The military itself doesn't. But the program itself doesn't always work for the individuals. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I struggled for years. Wow. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just went from job to job. I wasn't happy. Okay. And then I had this moment of first absolute depression because I just felt like I wasn't going anywhere with my life. And then I sat there and had some introspection. I thought about, well, I know I'm not the only person dealing with this. And I pinpointed where I started my struggles from is as soon as I got out of the military, a little bit before that is when I didn't know what I was going to do. And I said, well, so what can I do in the future to help others not go through that same issue? And that's where HR came into play. Okay. I actually at the time had a life coach named David Shiner who helped me kind of visualize where I wanted to head. And when I started speaking about HR, he said that I had a light around me. Okay. And that he could tell that was something that was going to be really important for me in the future. And thus I'm finishing up my degree in HR now, and I worked in HR for a couple of years already. I am currently a workplace coordinator and trying to get my foot back in the door.
Wow, what an amazing journey from the military to HR. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jason.
Of course, thank you.
And you've said you've worked in the Air Force for about 8 years. So can you share with the audience today a significant moment or story from your time in the Air Force that profoundly impacted your perspective on resilience and leadership?
I think my first deployment is where I've found the most need for resilience.
Right.
So my first deployment was in Balad, Iraq, and it was in 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. And like at that time, the war wasn't nearly as deadly and dangerous as it had been previously. But yeah, there were still concerns of mortars and everything. But one of the things I like to do is I volunteered for CASIF. I can't remember what the acronym stands for anymore.
Okay.
But basically, wounded soldiers would come through there. Anybody who had battle wounds. And for me, it just made me really think about how great, like how fortunate I was. Mm-hmm. And it kind of messed with you psychologically when you see people hurt, screaming, not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. And you have to find ways to really strengthen your own inner thought process and really build resilience. That was the moment where I was like, hey, I have to do more for my mind's sake to make sure that I'm not going down the wrong road, because mm-hmm. I ended up with some PTSD from things like this in there. But that would say biggest thing for resilience was that experience. It taught me how to deal with moments that you don't normally see in your life.
Yes.
And how to process them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, because it's not easy to work in the military and to go through, to experience people, seeing people being injured, and you are not prepared for that, you know? It's like, and when you come back, a lot of people suffer from mental health issues. Yeah. A lot of former veteran soldiers. Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of it is that people don't realize the stuff they're going through. Mm-hmm. So they don't even understand how it's affecting them until it's too late. Like, I didn't realize I was having residual effects till years down the line.
Yeah. Right. And what did you do to help yourself when you realized that there were things going on that you didn't deal with those issues when you were in the job?
I understand what you're asking. So it's a complicated question, because my initial ways of dealing with it were not good.
Right.
I dealt with it by numbing myself. So okay. Alcohol, extensive alcohol use.
Right.
And just trying to numb my brain, and to the point to where I battled severe depression and did at one point try and take my life.
Wow.
And after that moment is when it all started to click that there was something wrong. It wasn't just depression. There's something underlying issue. And so I started seeking therapy.
Okay.
Seeking therapy. That's really when things turned around for me, is when I started seeking therapy.
Right. Wow. That is really a very challenging journey you've been through, from being somebody who was drinking a lot to seeking therapy. So what would you say, because I know there are people who are going through some challenging times, who are trying to numb their feelings like you have been doing through alcohol, through using cigarette or drugs, or other ways, watching porn videos or any other addiction. What would you like to tell these people today, Jason?
Well, first and foremost, you're not the only person that's going through what you're going through. I promise you, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people going through the same thing you are. Maybe not the same exact story, but similar situations. And don't be ashamed to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I was ashamed for far too long. When you're in the military, you're always like, oh, gung-ho, G.I. Joe. Like, yes. I'm invincible. Yeah. I've got to be strong for everybody. And it wasn't the right mentality. That was my mentality I had at the time. And I was too proud to ask for help. So please do not be afraid to ask for help. Do not be afraid to seek help. And if you don't know where to seek it, start with Google.
Okay.
Google
can
help you get some good answers. And then from there, you just research who you want to speak to.
Wow. Thank you so much. And on that journey of healing, what did you discover about yourself in that process of staying away from alcohol and now being sober again and having a life? You are going to have a baby very soon. So tell us a bit more about how you, what you discovered about yourself, Jason.
So that's a loaded question. So to be clear, I wasn't an alcoholic. I just misused alcohol in that sense.
Right.
So I had to learn how to deal with my emotions without numbing them. So I do occasionally drink still, very rarely. Yeah. And I am hyperly aware of my emotions if there's a time when I'm drinking. If I feel like there's anything off, I will not touch alcohol.
Okay.
It's just being self-aware for myself. But to your question, I learned a lot about myself in the process. I learned that I had some deep-seated issues that were brought on from childhood abuse, verbal and emotional and physical, from an evil ex-stepmom, let's just say. She just never liked me and always just put me down and mistreated me. And I didn't realize that that had so much of a compounding effect on my psyche.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of reason why I dealt with things the way I did. Mm-hmm. And going through therapy helped me kind of understand some of these. So I was actually, when I thought I was dealing with PTSD just from the military, I was dealing with it from my childhood as well.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. going on that journey, I had to come to terms with the fact, at the time I was also not really close with my father either, because I had always blamed him for working more than he was at home, so he couldn't see what was going on. So I had to work through those issues. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just a matter of figuring out where it started and how do I keep myself from going back to that place where I hurt myself. That was the biggest thing for me. It's still a work in process.
Absolutely, yes. I think we don't realize how much the experiences in our childhood have a huge impact in our lives later on. And you are a great example of someone who did the inner work and who went back to heal those childhood wounds. And that has helped you to discover new things about yourself, to have a new life. So you are a great example, a great model of somebody who has gone through the dark night and who came back to light, you know? You came back to wholeness again from healing those inner wounds. So it's about a journey from healing from those traumas, those deep-seated traumas, to a journey of feeling whole again. Yeah, that's beautiful, Jason. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I just want to be clear that just for the listeners, that they know that, hey, it's a continual journey. There's always moments where that self-conscious and self-doubt will arise. It's just knowing that there's different ways to deal with it now is the thing. Just something I'd like to add to that.
I think you are very right. We are on that journey of finding ourselves. That's why we are in this world, and we are a work in progress. It's always layers that we need to peel, but they are going to be less challenging, you know? We will be triggered, but less and less as we continue to do the work to find new things about ourselves. So we come here to find ourselves, to bring ourselves back to wholeness. And it is our responsibility to do that work so that we can show up better for ourselves and for the world and become a better person each day. Yes.
Absolutely. Couldn't say that any better there. That's perfect.
Over the course of our evolution, there's been a disconnection. A disconnection from a natural and wholesome diet. We need to put back the good into our nutrition. That's why Juice Plus created the Omega Blend to contribute to your daily nutrition. A rich and unique blend that combines the best omega sources nature has to offer. Like sea buckthorn, a golden berry that grows under the harshest conditions, braves the elements to become a resilient fruit and a powerful source for omega-7, with one of the highest omega-7 potency of any known plant source. Or pomegranate, With a seed oil that is so abundant in omega-5 fatty acids that it has been valued and traditionally used for centuries. And microalgae, one of the Earth's oldest plant organisms. Invisible to the naked eye, but powerful and filled with omega-3 fatty acids to maintain your normal function of the heart, brain, and vision. Provided by nature, our Omega Blend is carefully selected from algae, fruit, and seed oils to give your body a wider spectrum of nutrients it needs, like the omega fatty acids 3, 5, 6, 7, and 9 in just one capsule. Juice plus Omega Blend. Real nutrition, real simple.
Thank you. And you have a great podcast that I was there recently, and it is called Everyday Elevations. And you cover great topics such as holistic health. So what inspired you, Jason, to start the podcast?
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to have a baby boy.
Wow. And congratulations. It's coming soon.
Yeah. Oh, really soon, in the next week.
Wow.
So December 23rd is the inducement date. If we don't have him in the next week, come Saturday, I'm having a baby boy.
A Christmas baby.
Yes. Christmas baby. Excited. But that was my huge motivation. And what had gone through my mind at the time, I wasn't very happy with where I was in certain aspects of my life. Yes. Emotionally, I was doing great. Relationship-wise, I was doing amazing. Work-wise, I enjoy my job. It's not always the most fulfilling because I want to get back into HR, of course, as I mentioned. Yes. That's where I feel like I belong. And the podcast realm, of course. But I just sat back and thought, well, I'm struggling in certain areas. I'm struggling in my physical well-being. I'm struggling in my financial well-being and my spiritual well-being. So how do I hold myself accountable? How do I do something that's going to force me to finally change and deal with the things I have going on? And for whatever reason, when I was meditating on it, it just popped in my head to do a podcast. Okay. And I'm one of those people, once an idea pops in my head, I'm quick to execute. So I don't worry about all the intricate details, sometimes to a fault, but I reached out to a friend who coaches podcasting. And I said, hey, what kind of guidance can you give me on this? I want to get a podcast going quick. This is what I'm trying to do. And his name's Rob Cressy, amazing guy. I'll try and get you two in contact after this here, because he's somebody you definitely want to talk to. He's an amazing human being. Nice. But he helped coach me through that. And he's like, hey, here's what you do. Gave me all the steps. And then from there, I realized that this is going to help me so much more than just being a good example for my future son, but just for so many other people. And that's why I started the podcast. Initially, the podcast was just an accountability journey for myself and to become a better version for my son.
Yes.
But then it became so much more. Now there's people reaching out. I'm like, oh, like, I'm so happy that an episode brought value to you. Like, I wasn't sure if anyone was ever even going to watch it. Like, it's mostly legitimately just a tool for me to do research to better myself. Yes. And then record it for accountability. And that's really the whole reason.
That's great. And what is the message that you want to convey through your podcast, Jason?
I really just want people to know that if you take actionable steps in your life, no matter what aspect of the whole person concept that you want to focus on, if you take small actionable steps, you're going to reach some extraordinary outcomes. I under-indexed for a majority of my life, and I don't want anyone else to do what I was doing. So I'm just hoping that they can pick up these tips and live their absolute best life.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. From what you've experienced, there is a lot to learn for anybody. Yes. How you've come back to now achieving, having a podcast, doing things that you like, and living a fulfilling and happy life. That's beautiful. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm excited. Wow. Everything's headed.
So can you share, because you've been doing the podcast for about a year now, is it?
Actually, 4 months.
Okay. Wow. But I'm sure you've done a lot of interviews already. And I would like you, if you can share with us a memorable experience from your podcast that significantly resonated with your audience or had a profound impact on your own perspective, Jason.
So there's a recently released episode from Desiree, and sorry Desiree if I mispronounced the name, but Doucette.
Okay.
And it just released this week, and it was an important time. When we did this interview, it was a very important time for me because I was still dealing with some grief from loss of my grandfather, who was really like a second father to me. And I know around this time of year that there's plenty of people who are having the first Christmas without the person that means so much to them.
Yeah.
And so this is what I strategically released this episode around this time, because I knew how important it was for people to have things to deal with. And one of the things she taught me was to bring awareness and gratitude to the people that you lost. And I had mentioned I had rosary beads for my grandfather. And really, you don't have to have rosary beads to do this. It's whatever you want to use. But she said, since I have that, it's a great tool.
Yes.
You can sit there and each bead mentions something you're grateful for. Tell them that you love them. And by the end of it, you're going to feel a sense of relief. And I did. And I do. Every day I do it. So it's probably one of the most profound things I learned from that episode.
That's beautiful that you shared about grief. And I am sorry for the loss of your grandfather. You use that grief to look at it in a form of what has your grandfather brought to you that you are grateful for, and it makes you feel happy, content, and you are able to move forward when you think of that. Help you to, instead of just feeling sad and upset, and so it really is a very beautiful thing to do. Yes, it is a great exercise. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
And what quote for you that you have used, Jason, to help you cope in challenging times?
Ooh, so there's a lot of quotes, but one of my favorite quotes comes from one of my mentors.
Right.
And it's Jesse Itzler. And the quote is, "Be where your feet are." And it's just about being present in the moment. Don't worry about anything else but where you are right now. And I love that quote because it humbles me to think about what's happening directly right now. Rather than in today's society, our minds are going a mile a minute. We have so many different stimulants.
Yes.
It's nice to lean back on that quote to just reel it back in for a moment. That's why I love that one so much.
It is a beautiful quote, and I understand why you like it, because it's so powerful when we live in the present moment, because this is the only moment that we have, the present. You know, you and I today, it is the only moment. We don't know what is going to happen in the next hour, tomorrow, but we have that moment together that we are sharing and talking. And this is so beautiful to appreciate it, because we are not going to have it again. Next time I'll meet you, it will be a different circumstance, different things would have happened to you, and you would have grown and evolved, and you would be a different Jason next time I meet you. So we only have this beautiful moment, and we can't go back. You know, we can't go back and say, tomorrow I'm going to go back to yesterday and catch it. No, it's gone. So the life is like, our life is like a play, but a play that we cannot edit.
Ooh, I like that. That is good.
I've been thinking about that, and I realized that it's not like you write a script and you can edit it, you know, if you write something, but life is not like that. It's only about going forward. No, you can't go back. You can't edit. It is either now or nothing, and you move forward. That's it.
Yep, there's no redos in life.
No redos, so that's why we have to make the most of the present moment. That's all we have. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. That was really beautiful that you shared that. Yeah. And another question I want to ask you is, I know that you read a lot, you've done a lot of work on yourself. If you can share with us what book or books impacted you the most and why?
Ooh, that's a good one because there's just so many books. One of the big ones, and I didn't understand, it took me a lot of times reading this book to really formulate this, but Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Okay.
I had the hardest time, no matter how many times I read that book,
yes,
formulating my own why. What is my purpose? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. But that book was so profoundly impactful on me because I realized how important it was to have a why.
Yes.
And there's times where it frustrated me because I couldn't figure out what my why was. But I do believe I found my why now. My why is a lot different than what it was a year ago.
Yes.
My why is my son.
Yes.
But that was one of the most impactful books. One of the other books I've always loved, and it's, again, from I have to look up the name of it. It is Jesse Itzler's Living with a Monk. So it was one of my first experiences. Actually, Living with the Seal is a little bit more impactful for me. So Living with the Seal is a book where he invited David Goggins to stay at his house for, I don't know what the length was, but basically he wanted to be trained by David Goggins because he saw this guy on a 100-mile race just doing things that normal human beings don't do. And there's just so many little life lessons that they go through that book. Mm-hmm. So many things about adversity and pushing through and not under indexing. David Goggins always, and this is just a paraphrase, he mentions a quote, something about we tend to only use 40% of our potential. And that's one that kind of always stuck with me, the fact that maybe we're not pushing ourselves hard enough. Maybe I'm not. And so that book has been profoundly impactful in my life as well.
Ah, thank you. Thank you for sharing these two books. I haven't read them, so it is something that I need to go. These are some books I can dive into and search for them. And thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
And my last question to you, because we are coming to the end of this conversation, and I would like to ask you, if you can tell us more about your podcast and how can people reach out to you, Jason?
Sure. So my podcast is about the whole person concept. The whole purpose of it is to just whatever bucket you feel like you're lacking in, mm-hmm, I'm going to have something on there for it. So whether you feel like you need to focus on spirituality or finances, I'm going to keep providing tips, whether it's from me doing in extensive research or me interviewing experts, which is my preferred methodology. I'm going to be providing those tools for people to create actual steps to accomplish what they want to accomplish. That's the purpose of the podcast. Now, you can find that on any platform, really. I post it on Spotify for Podcasters, but it's on Apple, it's on Google Podcasts, it's on iHeartRadio, you name it. And then you can find me on Instagram under Everyday Elevations. And you can find me on Facebook. It's just my name, Jason Fricka. I'm the only one in the world, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I am. I haven't found one yet. And yeah, other than that, I have Twitter. It's Everyday Elevate. So it's ELEV8.
All right.
That's how you'd find me.
Thank you so much for sharing your social media links. They will appear below so people can contact you. And it's been a great, great pleasure to talk to you today, Jason, and for you to share your story with us, your journey. And I wish you a lot of success in everything that you do with the baby, in everything with your podcast. And the best is yet to come for you, Jason. Yeah, it's just the beginning, you know? So it's very, very exciting for the things, for the great things you will achieve. And you are such a great role model for having taken those steps to transform your life. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure being on here. And your words are so kind. Like, I'm so appreciative of you and having you have come on my podcast and you offer me the opportunity to interview on yours. I'm so, so grateful. I'm so glad that we got to connect.
I am so glad too. Thank you, Jason. Thank you to the audience for watching, sharing, and subscribing. And we'll see you all very soon. Take care, everyone. And bye-bye.